All right, Book of Jeremiah, chapter 18. Do you know, for me, the text, I don't think I've ever preached it before. So that's a good one for you. Now, Father, unless you bless the deed, we labour in vain. Unless you own it by your Spirit and speak to our hearts, it's nothing more than hot air and rhetoric. But we know you watch over your word to perform it, and we know that the entrance of your word brings light. So we pray now that you will speak to each one of us, that each one of us will go from this house with something in our spirit, something worked in there by you. We trust you, Lord. We know your word does not return to you void. So come, Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Speak. Each one of us might hear your voice and be changed to your glory and to your praise. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 through 6, and it says, "The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise, go to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in his hands. It was marred in the hands of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me. O house of Israel, can I not do with you as the potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hands, so you are in my hands, O house of Israel." First thing to notice then, this is allegorical. Come on, you can say this together, allegorical. A story that portrays an inner meaning, an inner truth. That's one. Secondly, we need to do this, that because it's Old Testament allegory, people often try to blow it off. Oh, you know. 2 Timothy 3:16 says this: all scripture, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Yeah? Because all scripture is profitable for, don't like this necessarily, doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be fully equipped for every good work. All scripture. Old Testament. Who likes reading Chronicles? Come on, you can own up. All that big, you're weird. All that big, all that begetting and begotten, and this guy's brother to the cousin and the uncle, and the, how big was it, how many cubits, how wide, how whatever, you know, how much it weigh. You've all done it, come on, own up. And yet the Bible says all scripture. Now you've got to get it in context. When it's talking about all scripture, it's talking about the Old Testament scripture. Initially, in this setting, the New Testament scripture hadn't been written, unless you want to argue they accepted some of Pauline's writings. So he's talking about the Old Testament. So now we've got an allegorical story in the Old Testament that's got an application for you, which is good for correction, reproof, admonition, for the equipping for the work of the ministry. Right, so are we all right so far? All scripture is inspired by God. Do you want me to tell you the word? I'm not even bother. Theopneumatos. It's God. Theo, pneumos, where you get pneumatic drill from? Air pressure, breathe. All scripture is breathed by God. I was thinking about this morning, ready? A man, I'm going to come to it in a minute, God formed man out of the dust of the earth, and he breathed into him the breath of life, and he became a living being. So when God breathes into something, he breathes life into it. Good. That's why Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 says, now the word of God is alive and active and sharper than any two-edged sword to make a division between soul and spirit, bone and marrow, and expose the secret thoughts and intents of the heart. It's alive. When God speaks that word, black ink on white paper, suddenly the Holy Spirit of God takes that word and it becomes a living word to us and brings admonition, correction, reproof, direction, life, all those things. Is that right so far? So by us coming now to this story, that's what I'm going to say, there's a truth in there for us. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Turn to the person next to you and say, there's a truth in there for you. Good. It's a shame Nigel's not here today. I've actually got a title for a change. And it is that God does not mind getting his hands messy. That God reaches into our dirt, into our mess, and makes a message. Summary, God makes a message out of a mess. You can go on there if you want. That's finished. All right, thank you. Verse 6 of Jeremiah 18. Can I not do with you as the potter? Look, as clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand. That's what it says. This way's in my Bible. I would say, firstly, like you to note something here. The creative hand of God.
Ooh.
Those of you who like reading Genesis, it says this. And God took the dust of the earth and he formed it, shaped it, moulded it, fashioned it. Whichever translation you want to read. You are this shape. What's all that laughing about? You are this shape because God, don't you imagine him, don't you? Kind of making nostrils and ears. God, he said, I didn't make you in that dragon on the ground. He made man after his own image. We're not going to get into that today. Those of you who like to, you go and buy all sorts of rubbish and try to work that one out. But I want to say this. God fashioned it. Listen, he fashioned the man, ready, for the physical world. He fashioned your spirit for the spirit world. Truly, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. One, he made for relationship. Yeah. The other, he made for relationship there with him. The place of the soul, something else that's really good you can ponder about, but I haven't got time. Firstly, he made his spirit for relationship with him, and he made his body to house his spirit to live here. Fair? So far, good. And it says, God, when he had finished his work, he looked at it and said, God, I've done a good job there. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, just in case, I don't know if I agree. Lord, yeah, there, that one. Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our image. We've done all that. God, oh, John 4:24, God is spirit. So when he said, let us make man in our image, he made man a spirit being for relationship with himself. Horses relate to horses. Dogs relate to dogs. You know, oh, look, he's talking to me, he's waving his tail. No, he's not, he's after a biscuit. You hear all this, don't you? Oh, look, I can see he's happy, look, he's smiling. He gets really upset when mummy goes out. What a load of rubbish, he's a dog.
Yeah.
I said something about a cat once. And anyway, we're made for relationship with God. We're made for relationship with this world. That's why allergies and all those sorts of things are a result of the fall. Because when God finished his creation, he looked at it and said, do you know, I've done a good job there. Those of you who like the scripture, of course you do. Genesis 1:31, and then the Lord saw everything. Always look at the little words. Everything that he had made. And indeed, it was not good. Not that. It was very good. Alright? So now we've got this idyllic situation. Absolutely beautiful. Idyllic, whichever word you want to use. And suddenly, sin. This wonderful creation, this beautiful work of spirit to spirit, of man walking in the earth, and suddenly sin comes and mars and destroys and misshapes, and death is the result thereof. Is that right? If you read your Bible, the wages of sin is death. But, everyone say,
but.
With God, there's always a but. I love it. But when the fullness of time would come. But, yeah, because always, got the last word, I like it. But, it don't end there. 4,000 years, somehow or another, God in his mercy deals with mankind. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a virgin. I don't know how the eternal clock comes. I know when Jesus is coming back. Ask me when. But when the fullness of time has come, God's eternal clock is, and it's nearer than when you first believed. Yeah. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 8b. The second half of the verse. Him. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might
destroy.
Greek lesson number two. Luo. Say luo. L-U-O. That's easy to remember, isn't it? And it literally means to release, to undo, to, yeah, I've got them all down here for you, just so quickly. To undo, to loosen, to release, to set free, and to do away with. Why did Jesus come? He came to undo, to release, to set free, to do away with the works of the devil. Can you say amen? How? 1 Peter 2 and 24. Who in his own body on the tree bore our sin, that we having died unto sin might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were by whose stripes you were healed. You know what I said from? Of course you are. John chapter 1 verse 12. God sent his son into the world. No. Wrong bit. Well, verse 14. God sent his son into the world not to condemn the world, but the world might be saved through him. John chapter 1 verse 12. To as many as believed in him, to them he gave the power to become children of God. 1 John 3 and 1. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us that we should be called
children of God.
Yes! Someone should be smiling. Listen, God made Adam. He formed him to have a relationship with him. Christ comes. Christ deals with sin. Christ deals with the devil. Why? So I can have relationship with God. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 says this. If anyone... Good, you've already upset the person sat next to you. Turn to him again, so that includes you. If anyone be in Christ, he is. Hang on, now you need that little word. He is. Now, I'm not very good at English, but that seems to me to say finished and completed. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has finished and complete. The old has gone, behold, the new has come. You read your Bible. Well, Ken, that's all very good. I'm very pleased with that. But there seems to be this disconnect between fact and experience. Ready? And this is the profound bit you're going to get. Ready? Very well. I am becoming. I will be. I am saved. I am becoming saved. Glory days, I will be saved. I am righteous. I will not be more righteous than I am now. Experientially, I am becoming righteous. And on the day when I stand before the throne, clothed in the righteousness of God. So you are. Come on, that's where you get condemned. If I'm a new creation, why do I still struggle with this? If the old has passed away, if he's dead, how come he has a resurrection every Wednesday? You are becoming, you will be. Romans 8:28, you'll know it. Oh, yes, Brother Stroud, we all know this. Oh, look, profound. Yes, that'll do. Romans 8:28 says this. We know that all things work together to the good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. And it always stops there. What does verse 29 say? Exactly. For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his only begotten Son, that he might be the first of many brethren. Back to this. The creative hand of God. What did he do with the first man? He formed him out of the dust of the earth to suit him for earth. What is he doing with you and I now? He is forming us to the image of his only begotten Son. Yes? I tell you, you're making me work hard. Who knows that lovely word, metamorphosis? All together. But you're speaking tongues. If you don't speak in tongues yet, just say metamorphosis. Yeah, it's when the caterpillar becomes a butterfly. It's when it's changed from one state to another state. Yeah? That's the somophis, somamorphis. It means exactly the same. You're being conformed. You're being changed from into. Someone should be getting happy now. God's got a plan. Ready? Now I'm taking off to ground you already know. Jeremiah 29:11. And so, well, you know what? I'm pretty much on my notes. Pretty much. You know me. And if you wanted to, oh, you've left your text. No, I've not. Jeremiah 18:3. He was making something. Yeah. Always remember this. The pot, I don't just throw another pot on the wheel. I wonder what's going to come out of this. He's got a purpose, he's got a picture, he's got a vision of what the end product's going to look like. God's got a picture, he's got what the end product he's planned for your life. And that is that you might be like Jesus. And for those of you who really struggle with theology, 1 John 3:17 says this: as he is in the world, so are we. Get your head round that one. Anyway, there's God on the wheel. Jeremiah 29:11, Revised Standard Version, which is the one I learnt when I was... For I know the plans, I know the thoughts, which is I know the plans I have towards you, saith the Lord, plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. God has a plan for my life. And what is the plan for my life? What is the end product that he's going to produce? He's going to make me like Jesus. I am being transformed from glory to glory as I behold the image of him. That is always a good one. You want that one? I've been quite brief, haven't I? And when you hold the glory of the Lord, as it were, in a mirror, I'm being changed into the same image. The same image of what? What I've been holding in the mirror. What was I beholding in the mirror? The glory of the Lord. Therefore, we are being changed from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. Can you say, amen? You should get excited. God's got a plan for your life. You are not just flotsam and jetsam on the sea of circumstance. Spit that one out, eh? Like, God doesn't know the end from the beginning. Like, he's not the author and finisher of our faith and all the bits in between. And in fact, one translation reads the architect. Yeah. That's Hebrews 12, isn't it? So God's got a plan for my life. I know the plans I have for you. For you. I don't know about that. Good, there's always someone, isn't there? Isaiah 41. So 43 and 1. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are So firstly, God's got a plan for my life. Secondly, we should know, that plan gives me hope. Now, not worldly wishful thinking. I know the plans I've said for yourself, the little plans for good, and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Hebrews 11:1 says, our faith is getting to the things and things helpful. I've got hope. Listen, I'm going to come to the minute where you mess up. But it's the hope that is done. The hope that says God hasn't finished with me yet. The hope says that God hasn't The hope says this isn't the end. This hasn't the story ends, my friend. I love, what was the first song we sang today, opening line?
Hallelujah.
No, next one before that, very beginning.
I'll speak, O Lord.
Speak, O Lord, your word. Anyway. And the third point is this. His plans are for my good. Ready? You can turn to the first notion again and say, not necessarily for my comfort. Can you go? That'll upset me. His plans are for my good and not necessarily for my comfort. He's not necessarily sugar daddy God. When I walk through the fire, I don't want to go through the fire, or through the flame, or through the river, or through the flood, or through the valley of the shadow of death. Not for I am with you. I will hold your right hand, saying I will help. But that don't mean you don't go through. His plans are for my good, not necessarily for my comfort. Always remember that. Where are you, God? I'm in the same place I've always been. I'm still on the throne. I'm still God. All right, God. Don't you worry, you'll understand on the other side. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to
trust
and obey. Don't mean you're going to enjoy it, by the way. Sometimes through gritted teeth, anyway, so we really are established in there. We're two-thirds down the page. You're happy, we're going. Listen to this. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. You look it up, I'll have a drink. Being confident of this very thing. That he who began a... You see, now you spit that out. And you really ought to rejoice in that. Now he who began a good work in you shall complete it. Until the day of Jesus Christ. God has begun a good work in you. And what is that good work? He's making you like Jesus. Now that's what the Bible says. Not Ken, I think, so far. You can always argue about it afterwards if you want, but... Oh. Psalm 138, verse 8. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. The Lord will, that word perfect, complete. It also means mature, bring to fulfillment. Same word. The Lord will perfect, complete, bring to maturity, fulfill that which he has spoken over my life. And what has he spoken over my life? That at the end of this you're going to be like Jesus. Now don't get me wrong, I'm not, those who want to say, oh, you're saying we're going to be divine, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying God's going to do a work in my life, from glory to glory, making me after the image. But he might be the firstborn of many brethren, the prototype, the mould, all the others are pressed into. You just look at the problems. God looks at the potential. You look how far you've got to go, you forget how far you've come. You see where you are, you forget what you was and where you're going. It's God who's got the plan. That's why he's the author and the finisher. That's why he's the beginning and the end now. Now we're going to start and finish. Walk out of here today and say, I'm going to agree with God for a change. Instead of my feelings, my circumstances and my situations, I'm going to agree with God. The entrance of his word brings light. I am changed by giving attention to his word. God will perfect that which concerneth me. Ready? Message Bible. I like the message. Every now and again, those of you who preach, if you're short on something that kind of wants to pad out what you're going to say, go to the message. I know the plans I have for you. This is the RSV. I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord. Plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Message. I know what I'm doing. I like that. I have it all planned out. I can roll with that. Plans to take care of you and not to abandon you. Plans to give you the future that you hoped for. That's pretty good, you know. I can roll with that. So there's this pot. Back to the pot, by the way. We're there. Jeremiah. Yes. Yes. You need one more while I'm there. It's this one. Jeremiah 24. Now to him who is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless in his sight. There's the potter at the wheel. He knows what he's making, and the end product is going to be faultless. I mean, you're going to make some rinky-dinky things there. The end product, God's intention, is to make you after the image of his son. Those of you who want a real lovely scripture, Zephaniah chapter, don't read that very often, do you? Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17 says, he will rejoice over you with singing. There's the potter. Singing over you. For he has loved you with an everlasting love. Anyway, but Mary is at the wheel. And what's it going to say? Suddenly, the vessel was marred in his hands. Suddenly, the vessel spoiled. Suddenly, you and I. You following me so far? Who's ever watched the potter? He's doing really well, and then the thing gets a wobble, doesn't it? And once he starts wobbling, you know it's gone. Do I need to say more about whatever your wobbles may be? Some of us have lots of wobble. We all have. I have it. Idiosyncrasies. Sin. English lesson, not Greek lesson, English lesson. I is always in the middle of sin. Yeah, that's deep. That is deep. Isaiah 14. Five times the devil says, I will, I will, I will, I will. I, me, my, is always in the middle of sin. Yeah. And yet we always blame those and them. It. If she wasn't working in my office, I wouldn't have. So it's your fault, God, for letting her work in my office. If you hadn't parked your car there, I wouldn't have hit it. Work that one out. We all do it. We'll blame some. It's the woman. It's the devil. It's, oh dear. You know, we all do it. We look for someone to blame. But don't forget the potter. I love the rest of this story now. And so it mars in his hand. You have. Do you know what? This is the bit I wanted to do for you. You know, you don't throw it away. Someone is here today. You didn't throw it away. Now, you and I, you know, there I am making something. You still got your Bible, haven't you? Jeremiah 18:4. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred, spoiled. But he doesn't throw it away. The potter reaches into the mess. Firstly, because he's got an intention to make you like his son. Listen, you all know this one. Hebrews 13:5-6, where it says, for he himself has said, I will never leave you, nor forsake you, abandon you. Lo, I am with you, Matthew 28:19-18. With you always, 19. 28. I will never leave you, nor forsake you. I'm not going to give up on you. Why? Because I've got an intention. That's what the Bible says. Ready? Okay, read some scriptures you know. 2 Corinthians 5:4-7. But we have this treasure in pots of clay. But sometimes the pots of clay get a wobble on. But God picks up, gets his hands dirty. Yeah, it's a small one, that's a common one. God reaches my dirt. Without rubber gloves. Ready? Can I just kind of get a bit You know, he formed the man. There's something about touch.
Yeah.
Let's be honest, we all like somebody touching us. There's something about it, it conveys a sense of being wanted, being accepted, being happy, being human. God fashioned man. He touched us. God stuck his fingers in the dirt. He touched us to make something out of us. And someone today needs to see a God who is so intimately concerned with you. He's not hands off. He's not some distant God. He's a God who reaches into your dirt. He says, I'm going to make something out of this. And I am very quickly moving to the close. Why? We have this treasure in earthen vessels. The word there actually is, we don't run it. It literally means clayey, frail. And the best illustration is a set of cotton plants. They're fragile. So we've got that earthen vessel. This body of clay, and then inside, there is a treasure. And even when we find our give up, how do we say? Where is it here? Verse 6. Can I not do with you as the potter? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hands, so are you in mine. John 10:28. No one can snatch us out of his hands. God ain't finished with us. The only thing that can stop God's work? No devil in hell. The only thing that can stop God's work is you and I. John 10. Jumping out of his hands. No one can snatch it out of his hands. That's what it says. He said, he'll finish the good work he started. That's what it says. So I know that the clay has to come all around. It's not a good thing, I'm going to live my own life. And God somehow has to come. There's got to come a place where the clay says to the potter, have your own way, Lord, have your own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Make me and mold me after your will, while I am yielded, quiet and still, something like that. And then we yield to the hands of the potter. Shall we continue to sin the grace of man? Shall we continue to wobble? I expect God somehow or another to work with us. The wonder of it is this: if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin, put us back on the wheel, reach down into our mess, and make us what He wants to make us. Psalm 85 and 6 says this: for you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive, abundant in mercy to all who call upon you. Shall we stand in the house of the Lord? Go down to the house of the potter and watch him at his will. And I don't know who you are or where you are, you know, in the end of the day, that's between you and God. There's not one of us who can say, I've arrived, so that settles that issue. And if you think that's the case, that's sin, that's pride, you need to repent. All of us are prone to have a wobble every now and again. But I've come with a message for you today. It's this, that the potter doesn't give up on you. That he doesn't throw the clay away. That he reaches, he's willing to get his hands dirty. And reach into our mess and make a message. That he wants to make a vessel that the glory might reside in. We have this treasure in clay pots. So I think for the moment, Lord, let's we pray together. You can do it in your own way. I'll just, for me, Lord, I'm aware that so often I allow the wobble to determine who I am, rather than the fact that you have a plan for this clay. That you have a purpose, that you want to fill it with your glory, that you want to use it for your praise. And Father, I come before you today in the name of Jesus, very aware of what I'm not. And I ask you to forgive me. Lord, I thank you with you there is plentiful redemption. I thank you as we've sung today that the blood of Christ cleanses me. I thank you today for your mercy. I thank you for your grace that you do not abandon, that you do not give up. But you take this frail flesh, this frail fallen person, and in your mercy, you begin that work of grace again and again and again. And for that, we praise you. We bless you. We give you glory. We give you praise. Come on, saints, why don't you just bless him? If you know that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all unrighteousness, why don't you just bless the Lord today? That there is a place we can go to. There is somewhere we can go to.
Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus.